Well, here we are, week three of our sermon series on Daniel. Week three already. Doesn't take long, does it? But there's a fair bit to go still. Last week, David Moncaster spoke to us about King Nebuchadnezzar's disturbing dream, which only Daniel was able to interpret to him. But today, we look at what happened to Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they made faithfulness to God their priority over a comfortable life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can be challenging names for us. As a child in Sunday school, I remember we took an easy way out and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and into bed you go. Whatever their names, they're a great example to us of how to live for God in a world which is so often in opposition to Him. The events we're looking at today probably took place in 585 BC, when the three friends were about 34 or 35 years old. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream had been interpreted by Daniel. Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. Possibly inspired by the dream, Nebuchadnezzar had a huge golden statue made, about 90 feet high, and on the plain of Dura, about 9 miles from Babylon city. Well, I've not been out and measured the height of the tower here, but I think it may have been about the height of our church. It was a very big idol. And I don't know what the maintenance costs were, but there's something about rulers and leaders who get a bit beyond themselves, how they want to use gold. And this was I'm not going to mention any particular examples at the moment, but I will leave you to think who it might apply to. But this statue was at least plated in gold. It was a very big idol, but he also had big plans for it. He then summoned the ones that Ruth enjoyed reading, the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. Now I think, and other people have said it like Tom Wright, that maybe this was Daniel's sense of humour, that he repeated that list all those times. If you read it in the right way, or in my way, it just sounds funny, doesn't it? The repetition of it, and the rhythm of it, and it's just fun, really. But it wasn't fun what he was reading. But he summoned them to come to the dedication of the image that he set up. I mean, Daniel could simply have said, he summoned all his officials. Made life a lot easier for people reading the lesson in church, wouldn't it? But he obviously liked this style because he said that the herald loudly proclaimed, nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, and then in the following verses, he repeats that list three times. He obviously liked lists and repeating them. A few instruments that we know that aren't there. There's no synthesizer, there's no guitar, but it was a pretty comprehensive list of instruments. Sadly, despite the element of humour, this was serious business. Because he said, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. For many of the people there, bowing down to another god would have been no problem. But for the Jews, it was strictly forbidden by the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself an image, in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. As far as the king knew, everyone obeyed his command. But some astrologers came to him and said, "There are some Jews who you set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Were they jealous of the fact that although Daniel had interpreted the dream, they were unable to?" Nebuchadnezzar was furious, summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave them another chance to obey, but was clear that if they did not, they would be thrown into the furnace. But they were clear that they would not obey. "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." This was a great way to face potential suffering, and it's a good lesson for us. They knew that God was able to deliver them, but more important was their obedience. I've known Christians who were so convinced that God was going to deliver them that when things didn't work out the way they hoped, their faith was shattered. The fact that God is able to do something doesn't mean that he will. Isaiah wrote in chapter 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The three men were clear about their response to Nebuchadnezzar. Things got worse for them. In his fury, the king ordered that the temperature of the furnace be turned to maximum, and the three should be thrown in it. It was so hot that even the guards who threw them in were killed by the heat. But God didn't leave them alone in the furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" I remember there used to be an audiovisual I used to use at one time on this story. And Nebuchadnezzar leapt up and he said, "Okay, who went in there without my permission?" He may well have asked that he approached the opening of the blazing furnace and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." We don't know who the fourth person was, but the important thing for us is that God didn't leave them alone in the furnace. And when we are going through the mill, God is with us. When they came out, they were completely unharmed. The fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. But what about the impact on the king? He acknowledged the greatness of the true God. "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." So what does this mean for us today? Three things to take away. Whatever is happening in your life, and I don't know, but maybe some of you are going through awful situations at the moment. Whatever is happening, remember to stay faithful to God. When things are hard, we can be tempted to give up, but don't give up. Stay faithful. The second thing, remember to entrust yourself into God's hands. The God who took care of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is more than able to take care of you. Sometimes we try and sort things out ourselves, And maybe what we need sometimes is to just entrust ourselves to God, to trust Him. And then thirdly, remember that God will be with you, whatever. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you, in Hebrews. And in Isaiah, he says, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Our God is faithful, and whatever you're facing at the moment, He is more than able to deal with it in His own way. But it might not be the way that you expect. When I was much younger, so much younger than today, as somebody once said, there was an old lady I knew in our church who was called Miss Hyde. Everybody called her Miss Hyde. Actually, she had another name as well, but it was Miss Hyde to everybody. And she once gave me about 3 or 4 sheets of handwritten paper that had lots of Bible references that all referred to God's faithfulness. And that was a gift to me. It's actually when I started working for Scripture Union, and it was a reminder that whatever happened, God would be faithful, that I could trust Him. And that's what we perhaps can take away from today, that whatever we face, whatever circumstances we're in, whatever the future holds, God is faithful. Amen.